Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're rocking with you until noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC, and they will take you into the weekend right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento sports leader. James Hamm's there. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil's rocking with us. The Kings are back in action tonight at Golden 1 Center against the Golden State Warriors. The team tied with them in the standings. They are tied for the final two play-in spots. We've talked a little bit about what's going on elsewhere in the standings. But for the Kings and Warriors, this is a big game tonight for various reasons, going beyond just the fact that a little bit of an interstate rivalry, forgetting the Suns and the Spurs, who are trying to track down the Kings and Warriors at the moment. If the Kings want to start climbing the standings, these are the games you got to get, man. Like that's the bottom line tonight. Doug Christie said it a bunch at practice yesterday, like win. That's the bottom line. Forget how you do it. Forget who's playing, who's not playing. You just got to start cobbling together some wins. And I think that's correct.
Yeah. I think it's like super imperative that they forget about all of the other things. Yeah. You just have to go out there and like give your best effort each and every night. And like, again, I don't care if it's pretty, I don't care if it's just the smoothest thing ever. And like, look, if there comes a point where like this team just has to score 145 because they're giving up 140 a night, okay. Like, just do it. Like, figure out a way each and every night to win the game. And I think it again, when you're looking at a 27 game stretch, and it means a difference between you making the playoffs or not, being a play-in team or not, having maybe some people get fired or not, maybe someone earning a job or not, it just comes down to one thing, and that's the left-hand column, like Doug talked about at practice yesterday. Just try to get in the win column, and that's all that matters.
Yep. Yep. Chester Jackson said it in the chat. Playoffs start tonight for the Kings. And I think that's a good way to put it. Mm-hmm. You got to go get this one. So let's get to keys to victory. How do the Kings get a win tonight against the Golden State Warriors? We've got three keys each. If the Kings follow these, I think they'll get a W. James, what is your first key? I don't have a button to push. So
if only we had that bell that was sitting in the office the other day.
I don't have a bell in my home studio. Sorry.
Okay, it's okay. We can figure this out. Ride the wave of the bipartisan crowd. This is going to be a great crowd, and like I like that Warriors fans like show up and it becomes like this back and forth thing. It's fun. Like I think it's mm-hmm. fun. So what that means though is that when you hear that opposing crowd start to make a bunch of noise, that's usually not a good thing, and you need to figure out a way to shut them up. And that typically means you need to play defense. You need to like ride the wave of your own crowd, hit your shots, like play well offensively. But when you start to hear that other crowd start to murmur and start to warm up, the only way to quiet them is to play defense and shut them down. So that's where I would be if I'm the Sacramento Kings tonight.
Yep. Yeah, you have to, man. that is the only thing worse at your home arena than like your crowd not being into it is the opposing team's crowd being into it. Like that just you can't let that happen for sure. Number one for me, play all 48 minutes because Golden State will smoke a lead, bro. They were up like 24 on the Rockets before the break, and the Rockets had cut it to 2 in the fourth quarter. They've lost a bunch of games this year where they led by 15, 17, 18, 20, doesn't matter. They will trick possessions. They will play bad defense. They'll miss a bunch of shots. You gotta play 48 minutes because at some point you will climb back into the game.
Yeah, I mean, this is a team that like throughout the entire season, like no lead is safe with them. Like either way, like we all know what the Warriors can do to you in the third quarter. They've made a long, you know, history of just thumping teams in the. But this version of the Warriors, man, they have no problems like letting anybody come back in the game. So especially it's a team insane. Like the Kings, who have all this offensive firepower, hey, don't stop playing. There's no reason to stop playing if you fall behind in this game.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, if you fall behind.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you can't rest if you're up 15 because they have Steph Curry, and he's three shots away from getting them right back into the game. So, yeah, just play 48 minutes, man. That's going to be a big one. Number two.
Number two for me, figure out how to play team defense on the fly. Look, if you're not a good individual defender, that's okay. Like, learn how to play in the team concept. Rotate. Learn how to switch. Learn how the Kings like to push guys to the outside, not funnel them to the middle. Learn how you want to high five the three. Just do whatever it is that you can do to rotate, to fly around, to give second and third efforts, and play solid team defense, because that's the only way I think the Kings can move forward. They do not have the individual defenders to actually keep this thing afloat, but they do have. If they play right together, they can mask a lot of the issues that they have.
You know, one of my favorite things from practice videos yesterday was that video of Doug Christie working with Zach LaVine and very clearly showing Zach LaVine, hey, when you're going to put a hand on a guy, put it on his hip, because then if he like moves, it just looks like he's taking a step instead of hitting him up high where he can flop.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching closely for that tonight. I'll watch you really close for that tonight.
I love it. And, we asked Zach LaVine about it yesterday and like, hey, what were you doing over there with Doug? And it was like very specific. Like, hey, I watched Doug play. Like as a kid, I watched Doug. He's a great defender. Like if he can give me any tricks, why would I not listen? And that's where the Kings are. Like, yeah, hey, you should be asking everybody like for pointers at this point. Like, how do you get better as a team? Like very quickly. They're not asking you just to get better as an individual and just like, hey, it's on you. Go watch YouTube and get better at it. This isn't like fixing plumbing or changing the lock actuator in a car like I have to in my son's Pilot. There isn't a YouTube video here that just like will make you a better NBA player. You have to ask questions. You got to get into it. You got to be a good teammate. And that's where I think this group is right now.
Number two for me. And this is, I think, a key every time they play. Anyone but Steph, man. Yeah. I know that they have more secondary creation now with Jimmy Butler, or secondary scoring specifically. But, man, you can't let Steph Curry get 30-plus. That is a recipe for disaster. You got to figure out how to get the ball out of his hands, make him uncomfortable, make him take tough shots. He's going to make some, for sure. He's built a Hall of Fame career off that. But you can't let him get comfortable and get into the game.
Yeah, I'm throwing the kitchen sink at him. Get the ball out of his hands. Don't let him take that quick three. When he gets hot, like it's so demoralizing, because he hits crazy stuff.
Something that the Kings have done a really nice job of the last few times they played Golden State is not letting him relocate without a body on him.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's just, I mean, how many times have we seen that over the years where offensive rebound or he relocates and gets a wide open look because nobody followed him off the board.
Yep.
Like that's the Kings have done a really nice job with that the last couple of times they played. Number three.
Number three for me, no excuses. Like, look, down to 27 games left in the season. I don't care if you're bad defensively. I don't care if the three ball is not falling. Whatever you got to do, you got to find a way. And like this team is run out of excuses. And this season is going to be either won or lost, and it might not even be the next 11 games. It's probably going to be the next 5 or 6 games. If they're not in it, if they don't have a buffer above 500 at the end of the next 5 or 6 games, they're going to be in a whole bunch of trouble down the stretch. And so this is a moment where, like, put up or shut up. Stop talking about what you can be or what you hope you can be. You either got to go out and be that, or you're going to watch from the bench in the last 10 games of the season while a bunch of young players play and your team's looking at a lottery pick.
Yep, no doubt. Number three for me, get downhill, man. Their point of attack defense has not been good. If you can get downhill and touch the paint, you're either going to get a good look inside, or there's going to be spray threes open. You're going to be able to get them in rotation and move the ball and find some open shots. That's going to be there. You have to take advantage of the fact that Andrew Wiggins wasn't a great player, but he's a pretty good on-ball defender. And without him, they miss that player quite a bit. So that's something I would like to see from the Kings tonight, is whether it's Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, Malik Monk, or otherwise. If you can put the ball in the deck and get in the paint, you got to do it.
Yep.
Yep. No doubt.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
No, go for
it. Okay. I saw somebody asking like if they could trap Steph more. Like, yeah, that's what they did the last time they played. Mm-hmm. Is doubled him right at the timeline, made him get rid of the ball, and then just stood there next to him. And didn't let him move from that spot, and it seemed to be pretty effective.
I think Domas done a really good job. Sorry. I think Domas has done a really good job of that, of showing up on you know, in the double team and just shocking and getting the ball out of his hands and a couple other guards in the league. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. James Hamm is over there. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil's hanging out with us today. Can't wait for Kings Warriors tonight, and can't wait to dive into that game on Monday at 10 a.m. with the Insiders right here on ESPN 1320. That is Sacramento's sports leader. Non-NBA news or basketball-related things. Did you see what the Yankees did today?
Yeah, that's wild.
Huge news, dude.
That is huge news.
Like, of all the changes that have hit baseball over the last few years, I think this is the biggest one. The New York Yankees are allowing players, for the first time in more than a century, to have facial hair.
It's wild.
I should say a beard. You've been able to have a well-groomed mustache, but now they are amending it to have a well-groomed beard.
That's amazing. Mattingly is so pissed. Yeah, like,
oh, he's furious.
Yeah, he's just furious. He's like, I had to have that stupid mustache the whole time I was there.
Oh,
I couldn't grow a handlebar. I couldn't grow like a just like the like just fuzzy look down the sides.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know. Jason Giambi, you remember too? This was a big deal, Jason Giambi.
Yeah, man. Clint Frazier, one of their prospects, had like long hair and a big beard, and then they had to cut it off. So yeah, it has to be a well-groomed beard. You're not going to see anything insane. But I love this for the Yankees. That's been an outdated rule for a long time. But I always think anything that baseball can do to separate itself from what it was 100 years ago, 80 years ago, 70 years ago, anything they can do to separate themselves. And when one of the marquee franchises was holding on to this like an antiquated rule that was established for whatever stupid reason, getting rid of it is just like that's progress in baseball, man. And that's what I think people are hoping for. So salute to the Yankees. That's going to be fun for those players. I saw Carlos Rodon's wife was already really excited about the rule because he had a big beard that he had to shave. So I'm guessing you'll see a ton of dudes on the Yankees with beards this year. And that's going to be fun. In fact, it changes my World Series pick. The Yankees might go to the World Series now.
You wonder if a free agent said, I won't sign here if I have to shave my beard. Change the rule.
Maybe.
Change the rule. Maybe. Yep.
Yeah, Garrett Cole needs to bring the beard back for sure. Garrett Cole, no beard, looks like a thumb, dog. It's not a good. He looks like when I if I took my beard off, it would look like that.
That's funny.
Not a good look.
Yep.
Anyways. James Hamm, I'm Kyle Madsen, Joe Brazil on the ones and twos. We'll dive back into the Kings next on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento sports leader. The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube.
I'm Kyle, he's James. Joe Brazil's rocking with us. We're hanging out with you till noon, and D'Lo and Casey will jump in here. Not a lot of Anaheim Angels talk going to happen on this station, but we will talk A's, we will talk AL West. I think the A's spring training opener is tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? I think that's right.
It's possible. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll have a good time talking baseball throughout the spring and summer for sure. But we've got basketball starting back again tonight here in Sacramento. Kings, Warriors, we've been talking about that quite a bit. We did first half, NBA first half, like awards and superlatives and stuff. I want to just do a Kings version of that real quick.
Okay.
Let's just rip through these because I don't know how much discussion there is, but it was an idea I had and I'm kind of committed to it in my brain. So we're just going to do it right now. Defensive player of the year.
Ooh.
You giving it to Keon or Keegan?
I'm giving it to Keon. Yeah, I mean, I think Keon's been asked. I mean, Keegan has been asked to do so much, but I still think that the way that that Keon is such a game changer on that side of the court, like, I've got to give it to him.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Is Isaac Jones the rookie of the year?
Yes.
And is it even close?
No. No, it's not close. No, he's the.
That's tough. That's a bad beat.
Yeah, that's not great. And that's not to disparage, you know, what Isaac Jones has done, but like, look, that's a problem when you have a, you know, a lottery pick and, you know, he hasn't been able to make the impact that a guy who was undrafted has been able to make an impact. So, I definitely think, Isaac Jones has been the most impressive.
It's not Devin Carter shade. He just hasn't played enough or been impactful enough.
Yeah, he has it. He's just straight up.
Shout out to Isaiah Crawford. Was De'Aaron Fox the MVP? Or would you have given that to Domas?
I would have given it to Domas. I got to be honest. Domas is having the best season of his career. You know, the shooting from three, leading the league in rebounding again, and bumping up his rebounds by over one a game. And then on top of that, like going for over 20 a game, which is not something that I thought he would do here in Sacramento. But yeah, to me, he's the MVP of this team so far.
Yeah, I think I agree. The issue, and again, I don't want to rehash the De'Aaron trade stuff. I'm just talking about on the court. The reason I think that I would give it to Domas over De'Aaron, trade aside, is that Domas is night in and night out. You for the most part know what you're gonna get.
Mm-hmm.
With De'Aaron, he had the 60 points and then the, is it 54? 60 and then 54?
49.
So he had, he had those two incredible games, but we kept waiting for the, like, hey, here's where he's going to average 30. Here's where he's really going to take over. Here's where he's going to be. Here's where he's going to become that dude. And he just never really did. Whereas Domas, just night in and night out, you can pretty much pencil him in for 20 and 15, which is remarkable. What's the biggest surprise of the year for you with Sacramento?
I wrote the chaos. I think that's the biggest surprise, that like this thing didn't have to spin out and be crazy and stupid and outlandish. It didn't.
Nope.
And like a path was chosen here and this thing just got out of control. And like there were like off ramps all over the place to make this thing work. And they chose not to take any of those. Instead, they went straight for that freeway where the bridge is out, and it says the bridge is out. And at this point, you know, they've crashed through like a bunch of those barriers and they haven't got to the point where they're flying off the edge yet, but they're getting close to that. I mean, this thing, it didn't have to be this way. And I've always said, like, if you can avoid the chaos, it usually means a difference between like 8 wins plus or minus. And it
specifically,
go ahead.
Specifically for me, and I know this was lumped into your answer. Specifically for me, it was that De'Aaron got traded. I was operating on the assumption that he was just going to be here. And that was going to be the thing. And they were going to build around him. And that if they blew it up, they would blow it up to make sure they were building around him. Like I going into this year, thought that's where the next 8 years of Kings basketball was headed.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time he got traded, obviously, I wasn't like, oh, my God, they traded him. But the fact that it got there by February 1st or whatever, it really started to heat up. It was a pretty big shock to me, considering where I thought things stood going into the year.
Yeah, I found it really interesting the way, like, in the last week, how it played out. I remember I went on the air and I said, I have a feeling there's a good chance he's going to be gone. And then, like, 2 days later, it was like, okay, I think things have cooled down a little bit and there's a possibility that he's not. And then it escalated so quickly and it's like, oh, wow, this is actually happening. Like, to pull off a deal that substantial usually takes longer. It does. And to be honest with you, that tells you that they were working behind the scenes for a while to get that deal done. You know, that's not something that just like pops up out of nowhere. But then the final week was like, oh man, this thing, like, it's just a matter of what you're going to get. You know, and I know De'Aaron thought the whole time he might stay, but like that just wasn't in the cards.
Yeah. Biggest disappointment?
I think it's Keegan. It's not. I don't blame Keegan as much as it's just like the reality of his situation. He has to shoulder some of the blame. I did not expect him to go backwards this season. I thought he would be a player who either stayed at like right around 15 points a game or took another leap up to like 16 to 18 points a game. And we just didn't get it. And part of that's because he became the fifth option in the starting lineup. Part of that's because the Kings just kept adding more scoring and asking him to do more and more on the defensive end. But I certainly didn't think that we would be here at this point in the season wondering what his extension would look like next season. I did not. I thought he was going to be a max extension, rookie scale extension. And at this point, I have no idea what the Kings would offer, and I have no idea what his group is would think either.
I think we were both on that. Not island. I think we were both in that camp going into the year that's the rookie extension he was going to get, and that it just hasn't come together. I think that's right. I see some people in the chatty house saying that Kevin Huerter was the biggest disappointment. That's fair. I thought there'd be some kind of bounce back, but that he didn't bounce back wasn't like a shock to me. I'm pretty surprised that Keegan has, like you said, it's not that he's stayed stagnant. It's that he seems to have gotten worse offensively. And that's turned around a little bit since Mike Brown was let go. So maybe we see by the end of the year, he looks a little more like he did last season or the year before. The biggest disappointment for me was the front office, man. And this goes a little bit to what you were saying about the chaos. Like, this started there. This started with a couple off seasons ago and last trade deadline, and then last off season. And then you go add Jake LaRavia and you go add Jonas Valanciunas at this deadline. Like, okay, that's great. Too little, too late, though.
Yeah.
Their arm had been chopped off and they tried to throw a Band-Aid on it. You know, it just didn't. Too little, too late is the only thing I can kind of think of there. I thought that Monty McNair and Wes Wilcox had a really clear vision for what this team is or what this team is supposed to be, and they never made, I thought, the correct moves to ensure that they were creating that team that I thought they were. So that was the biggest disappointment for me.
Yeah. I mean, I think just like the entire way that the whole season played out with Mike Brown getting fired and the team not responding and then having to trade Fox. And then I do think that there are a lot of positives, like that, you know, I think that Doug Christie has been a huge positive. And, you know, like we didn't put, like, you put what's the biggest disappointment, the biggest surprise and the biggest, like, you know, I think Doug has been like a revelation in his opportunity here. And I think that his way of like just turning the season around and actually having him in a position right now where we can even talk about competing is a big deal, because this thing could have gone I lived through the 7-21 Tyrone Corbin era after they fired Michael Malone. Like, this thing could have gone horrible, and like Doug's done a really good job of steadying the ship and keeping it going the right way.
Thank you, Cisco says no one wanted Trey and Huerter. People get mad we ain't make pickups sooner, but with what, you can't trade stones and rocks for gold. Yeah, that's on the front office.
Yeah, you didn't have
Have the assets to make acquisitions because they just gave away assets, and then they had to trade De'Aaron Fox to get the assets to make marginal acquisitions.
Yes.
That's tough. That's bad business.
Yeah. So, yeah, in the end, the entire way this thing played out, it did not have to play out this way. And I've said it too many times, but it's a death by a thousand paper cuts. It wasn't one specific thing here or there. It was like a bunch of little tiny things that you did that hurt your chances. And it is what it is.
All right. So let's look forward now. Where are we at with expectations? Because I think that's going to be important over the final 27 games. Because if you're still sitting here, like my expectations before the year, I said 51 wins. That's the number I circled and the number I stayed on for a while. If you're still hoping for 51 wins, I think you're going to be sorely disappointed no matter what the outcome is. So where is your expectation right now, James, for the last 27 and where this season ends up?
I think that they're going to stay around 500. I think that okay. They'll pick up a couple of games. They'll fall back. They'll pick up a couple of games. They'll fall back. I think at the end of the day, I would be surprised if this team finished with more than 43, 44, 45 wins. And even mm-hmm. the 45 is really tough. It's the one game here, the one game there that costs you when you're trying to stack these numbers up. And I think there's a possibility that they do some good work here and make a bit of a run. But like when I see, someone in the chat says an 18-9 finish, like show me where there's 18 wins. Cause that schedule doesn't tell me there's 18 wins. And, that's where it's going to be really tough. The Kings had the easiest first half schedule in the league. That's where they're, mm-hmm. that's why they are where they are right now, because the final like drum roll here is not going to be pleasant. And that's because the games are tough and we'll talk about they have a 3-game and 4-night set where it's the Celtics like on a Tuesday, you have Wednesday off and then you play back to back against the Bucks and OKC. Like tell me where you're going to get a win in that 3-game set.
Yeah.
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 It's tough. So
that's so brutal. 17-10 over the final 27 gets you to 45 wins. I saw somebody say 11th seed coming soon. I don't think it's going to get that bad because I think the Spurs and Suns are both going the wrong way. I think 42 wins is probably enough to get you the 10 seed. It might be even 41. We saw that just a couple of years ago where I think the Thunder, the year they got in the play-in, I think were 40-42 and still made the play-in. So it's not unheard of. So I don't think they need to necessarily, I don't think they're going to fall into the 11th seed unless something bad happens. But man, 45 is like a lot when you look, 45 wins isn't that many on the grand scale, but when you're asking this team to go 17-10 with one of the toughest schedules in the league, like but I think what you said, like 43 is probably a better. Because even 43, 15-12, you play 3 games above .500. And if you're 3 games above .500 through this 27-game stretch, maybe you go into the play-in and you're playing okay and you can win a couple of games or a game and make the playoffs that way.
Yeah, I mean...
I think that's probably the correct expectation at this point.
Kyle, it's like when we talk about the one game you lost to the Pelicans, like it going into the All-Star break, it means so much. Like in the standings, mm-hmm. like there's a big difference between this team being 3 games over .500 right now and 1 game over .500, mm-hmm. especially when you look at the remaining schedule. And, do I think that they could have played, got 4 games over .500 in the final, stretch here? Yeah. Like there's a possibility they could have played 4 games over .500. And that would have put them at like 7 games over .500 at the end. But now that 4 games gets you 5 games over .500. If you lose one game, now it just drops. Like the numbers just are against you. And so, like, mm-hmm. look, it's not all doom and gloom because they've fought and they scrapped and they've clawed under Doug Christie. But this mm-hmm. is not just like an easy task at hand. And adding to that is all the new ingredients that you've added who haven't really had time to like figure out where they fit in the new world order of the Kings. I mean, Markelle Fultz showed up we interviewed him yesterday at practice. Like that dude hasn't played in 9 months, but he mm-hmm. might get to play. He might get to play tonight. Like we don't know, but I can tell you like not playing in that amount of time, that is crazy. And to expect him to have an impact with 27 games left in the season, it's a tough go. It's a tough sell. So we'll have to see how it all works out. But like, man, it's going to take a hell of a coaching job. That's what it's going to take.
Hey, this is for Oso in the chat. The Kings are the best team in the NBA. What a club. Wow. These final 27, I don't see any reason they can't go, 21-6?
Yep.
And they've won 3 out of their last 4. What a team. What an incredible team. And oh my God. They're just amazing.
Just want to point out that
really good. They're playing really good basketball right now too, man. They toughed it out against a really good Pelicans team. That's a good Pelicans club.
Solid 12 win team.
Lost the next one, but they took them to OT. But it's the context behind those 12 wins and actually 13 now after beating the Kings the other night. But man, that's a better. They might be the best 13-42 team in the league, James. I'm comfortable saying that. So, there's no reason over these next 27, the Kings can't go. I think minimum 20-7. More easily talk me into 22-5, though, I think. That puts you at 50 wins. That puts you well into the playoffs. Man, what a year. Doug Christie, coach of the year? We'll find out.
If that happens. He's just going to steal it right away. Steal it right away from Kenny Atkinson.
I don't know. I like I said, there's nothing to me. Never say never, right? I like that's been a phrase forever, right? But
yeah,
a couple off seasons ago, when Jimmy Garoppolo was gonna what I thought leave the Niners, I just was like, there's no chance he's back. Da, 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 da. And then he winds up coming back. So look, are the Kings the worst team in the league? No, not by a long shot. But for me, have they won 3 out of the last 4? Like 100%. Like, yes, that is an undeniable fact. That is correct. But for me, when I look at the construction of the team, and James, if you disagree or agree, like whatever, I feel like we're on the same page here, but let me know. For me, when you look at the construction of the team and the players that they have, when you look at their remaining schedule, and you just look at kind of the context of the entire season, I think that you're looking at a team that's probably about a 500 team, maybe a couple games over.
Yeah.
That's not hating. That's not ignoring the fact that they won 7 in a row under Doug Christie earlier in the year and that they've won 3 out of the last 4. Just like you kind of look at the way they've been playing and you look at the roster makeup. And I have a hard time finding a ton of reasons to be optimistic about their last 27. And then you look at their schedule, which is going to be tough as well. So if they make the postseason, man, they're going to earn the hell out of it.
Yeah. And like, look, they've won 3 of their last 4. They're also 5-7 over the last 12. Like, like, be honest. That's what we're here to do is like, we're not going to spend this saying that. And hey, look, if they get on a run here, we'll be here every day to talk about it. Like, that's the way it goes.
I will so happily be wrong.
Yeah.
I would love, because this is so much more fun when they're winning a bunch of games.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to be wrong here.
Yep.
But I can't, I can't get on the radio and be like, wow, I love what this team's doing right now. Cause I don't.
Yeah.
But, you know, they go win by a bunch tonight and win the next couple and then they've won 3 in a row. Maybe the vibe is different, but right now it's tough.
But yep. Anyways,
that's why they play the games, man.
Yep.
No matter what I think, no matter what James thinks, no matter what Joe Brazil thinks or anybody in the chatty house, like I recommend they still play the games just in case. That's what Doug Christie said. Find ways to win. That's what they're going to do. Jesse Tapia is going to join us for the handoff next. Nomad Props. We're just going to talk some hoops with Jesse. Are his Celtics just going to roll to the championship despite what Draymond Green had to say? We'll talk about it next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader. Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm Kyle Madsen. He's James Hamm. Jesse Tapia is hanging out with us. Joe Brazil's hanging out with us. It's a full show. Look at that. How fun here on a Friday to close out the week. Jesse Tapia, what's going on, man?
Nothing much. Happy it's Friday. What's up, guys?
I appreciate that the first thing you did was hate on the Yankees' new rule that everybody's celebrating.
Yeah, I was like,
Don't be like a true Red Sox fan. That's very good by you.
Well, it's not even that. Like, I can keep my biases aside, being unbiased and all that. But, like, yeah, you want to, if you're going to do, like, oh, you can have the beers now, like, go all the way. No, like, oh, you got to keep it well-groomed. Like, it's baseball. Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Just get over yourselves. Like, you're the Yankees. You haven't really been super relevant. Well, you've been relevant. You haven't really won much since like the '90s and stuff. Shout out 2009, I mean, like, just get over yourself. Yeah. That's it.
All right. So, quick note on the Washington Wizards as we start the second half. They went the entire first half of the year without losing a game by one possession. Their lowest margin of defeat this year is still 4 points. They have not lost a game by 2 or 3 points all year.
That's wild.
Shout out to the Wizards.
They've lost a lot of games.
That is so many. They've lost a lot of games by so many points.
It's just an all-time bad sports franchise.
They might be the worst team of all time.
Like, we're talking
about,
with
all due respect to the process era Sixers.
That team won like only won like 9 games 1 year, didn't they? Or 10?
I want to say 12.
Was it 12? It was really
12
low.
12 feels right to me.
Yeah.
It was a very small amount.
It's not good. I mean, they've had a couple of downturn years where they won very few games. Yeah, and talk about negativity. You guys want negativity, go live there. 10. They had a 10-win season. 10-72, but it seems like they had a really bad one. Oh, that's an 18-win season back in the 95-96 season.
They might go an entire year. They might win like 12 games and have 70 losses all by fewer or by more than one possession. That's crazy. Really hard to do.
Could you imagine having a 1-2-2 win percentage for a season?
No.
No, I can't actually. No. I can't imagine that.
That'd be terrible.
Oh, man.
Like, there's been a lot of bad basketball in Sacramento and in Golden State. A 12.2 winning percentage?
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's so bad.
Yeah, I think the Kings, their floor is like 22 since they've been in Sacramento.
Which is bad.
Oh, no, it's horrible.
But it's not 9-45 through 54 games bad. Jesse Tapia, noted Boston Celtics fan, reigning NBA champion, Boston Celtics.
That's correct.
Are you still, I know you're very confident in the Celtics, and I want to get everybody's finals pick here. This is where I'm going. Is it still Boston's championship to lose? Are you just like, get me to June?
Yeah, pretty much. Everyone keeps telling me the sky is falling, but I don't know. I mean,
I don't think
there's only one team that's top five in defensive rating and offensive rating.
I don't think it's necessarily that the sky is falling. Like, the Celtics aren't ever going to be bad, but you just look like, oh, the Knicks look like they're starting to figure it out. And man, the Cavs have been really good this year.
The Cavs can get the Celtics. Like, no doubt. The Cavs can get the Celtics. The Knicks, I don't see it at all. Like, Cat, I think if you go at him defensively and just play a little physical, like Namias Cade and Luke Kornet had him in hell the other, like, 2 Saturdays ago. Like, I'm not worried about the Knicks at all. But the Cavs can get him.
I think Boston's just slow playing the regular season. That's all. And they have every right to do that. They just won a championship, but they've also been there a couple of times.
Yeah.
And they realize that the regular season, like, if you put everything into it, you're going to end up hurting yourself down the stretch.
They've been sitting in the Eastern Conference Finals, like, damn near the last 7 years.
Yeah.
Minus a year off or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about that, though.
I saw David say Celtics versus Nuggets. That's where I'm going to. I think the Nuggets are going to the finals.
Yeah, I've been Celtics Thunder most of the year, but I think I'm going to go Celtics Nuggets, too. The Nuggets it feels like nobody else has kind of stepped up besides the Thunder, and I just feel like the Nuggets could get them this year.
What if it was a Nuggets-Cavs NBA Finals?
No one's going to watch that, but...
I think, too, like, one of the more impressive things is that the Cavs, like, Cleveland isn't a market that draws a lot of people, right? But, like, whether it's the LeBron era or now, they've done a really nice job of building something where, you know, even their downturn... They came out of it pretty quickly, and they have, like, really, really nice talent to push forward.
It's a lot different than what they used to be before Bron.
Yeah, I think
after that first time he left.
I think they're just a year too early, and OKC might be a year too early as well, but I'm not going to count them out. OKC is really, really good. They play together very, very well.
It'll be one of those two teams, I think.
Yeah.
Somebody said Celtics, Algata said Celtics, Clippers. I don't see it for the Clips.
Yeah, no, I don't. Sorry.
How would that happen?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. No, it doesn't. It can't happen.
Yeah, that
Kawhi,
would be.
Kawhi is just dialed.
Okay.
They just play awesome defense.
It's Kawhi Leonard and Norman Powell show?
I guess. I mean.
Dude, all-star snub Norman Powell.
No, very true.
That was kind of crazy. It was like, oh yeah, like LeBron shouldn't have, like he should have left or whatever. Like Norman Powell could have been. It's like, oh, we weren't going to get Domantas Sabonis over here.
Ever.
Yeah.
No, no, because if it wasn't Norman Powell, it was Devin Booker. You know?
Is that real or?
Well, I'm just like, that's probably the way it would have
been. A long list.
I mean, but they had two players who didn't play, right?
Yeah.
Anthony Edwards didn't as well. Boy, that would have been just dirty play if they would have just called in those two guys.
That would have been terrible. Like, what am I supposed to do here?
That's funny.
I gotta say, my point is, who had the Mavs going last year? Yeah, no, that's a fair point for sure. I just don't. When you look at what the Clippers are, they like, I think in this scenario where they make the finals, it's Kawhi Leonard being healthy, playing the entire playoffs, and looking like prime Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah,
and I don't think he has that in his bag at this point.
Yeah, that's. I don't think that's happening this season.
Well, that and I guess like if Ben Simmons all of a sudden became like really, really good again and somehow stayed healthy and like got in the right headspace, okay, mm-hmm. I guess. But sure. I mean, they've got players. I like they got Bogdanovich. So we got a little Bogey there. I think he's going to be really good for them.
Is there a team out west that you guys could think could make a Mavs tie run this year?
I think Kyle thinks the Lakers.
Is it Memphis?
Ooh,
I don't maybe. Think the Lakers can make a run. I don't think the Lakers are going to make a run.
I think the Lakers could, if Luka kind of figures it out and they just start playing, but that's kind of Captain Obvious, but I think they could. I like their rotation of Vegas. They have the.
I think it's Denver.
Yeah, they could. I don't think, but the Mavs felt unexpected last year.
Yeah.
I think I had Denver going into the playoffs. And then it was like, oh, maybe OKC can get him, but no, it's too early for them. And then, oh, man, Minnesota's playing really well. And then it was just, oh, hey, here's the Mavs. I think they're in the finals.
I think we had them as like 4, 5, 6 seeds, though, like Denver.
I think it's Memphis.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, Memphis has been really impressive. And the fact that they went and traded out a bunch of, like, for them, what looked like dead weight at the deadline, mm-hmm. But cleared out some salary and everything else. They have a way of just keeping themselves, like, relevant somehow. Yeah.
Memphis has been pretty good. It's weird how they've kind of flown under the radar this season, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just it, man. Like, they're 7th in defensive rating, 6th in offensive rating. That's with Ja Morant in and out of the lineup. They're about to get G.G. Jackson back, or they did get G.G. back. They're getting him back.
Oh, that's a good question.
I think if we're trying to pick a team that sort of quote unquote comes out of nowhere, that's the one for me where we go into every series like, oh, okay, maybe, yeah, they could lose this one. And then they just wind up in the finals.
I think
they have the pieces to make that kind of weird run.
Yeah. G.G. Jackson's been back 13 games. I don't expect them.
I think really?
Yeah. That's crazy.
Holy smokes.
Why is that under the radar Memphis Grizzlies?
Yeah, I mean, he's still trying to work his way back in. But, you know, like, but his numbers from last year are inflated anyways because he played all those minutes because they had no players. Like, I think mm-hmm. that team's going to be
But he was really good.
Though. Yeah, he was really good. He was fun.
Are your Detroit Pistons winning one playoff game this year?
One playoff game?
One playoff game. Are they winning one playoff game? They'd be playing the Knicks, I think. If they're the 6th seed right now, they'd be playing the Knicks.
Hmm.
Over under half a play. Yeah. They'll get one.
You'll take the over.
You're taking the more.
Yeah, they'll get one. Yeah. I gotta keep rocking with them. They've already hit their season over, dude.
Yeah, that might be your finest.
Like by a lot.
Year.
I think it was 26.5. That's the worst for me. If my all time great take is that the Pistons were gonna be better than awful.
When you say it out loud, yeah, that's kinda tough.
I did it. What do you guys got coming up on D'Lo and KC today?
We got plenty of guests. We got Mikey Winfield, comedian. We got Eddie Gonzalez. You, James Ham's gonna be there. Kings are back today, so
oh my goodness,
it's a full show.
Full show.
It's gonna be a ton of fun on D'Lo and KC. That's Jesse Tapia, Joe Brazil. Thanks for hanging out with us today, man. Really appreciate you, and can't wait for you to be involved with the show more often. For James Ham, I'm Kyle Madsen. Everybody have a safe and fun weekend. Enjoy the heck out of the Kings and Warriors tonight at Golden 1 Center. But before you do that, enjoy the heck out of D'Lo and KC because they're next. James and I are back on Monday at 10 a.m. on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320, Sacramento sports leader. Until then, drink water, be nice, people. See you.